Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Along with Jim Garrity of National Review, I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for you today, as usual. And we start, of course, with the good and more on Jonathan Gruber. He's been the good, he's been the bad, he's been the crazy over the past several days. And today, he's back in the good. And this is a video that's been known about for the past few days, but Jim seems particularly relevant in light of the president yesterday, obviously trying to distance himself, saying some advisor who was never on our staff, why is anybody paying attention to this? Well, in an interview with PBS, Jonathan Gruber explains just how closely he worked with the president on one of the key taxes that are in the bill.
What we didn't a lot in that room was think about, well, how could we make this work? And Obama's like, well, you know, I mean, he's really a realistic guy. He's like, look, I can't just do this. He said, it's just not going to happen politically. The bill will not pass. How do we manage to get there through phase-ins and other things? And we talked about it. And he was just very interested in that topic. And once again, that ultimately became the genesis of what's called the Cadillac tax in the healthcare bill, which I think is one of the most important and bravest parts of the healthcare law and doesn't get nearly enough credit.
But, of course, the president said there weren't any taxes in there, so factor that clip in with all the others that we heard about in the president's lame denial. Here's Ron Fournier of National Journal, who actually likes the law for the most part, talking about how this has really damaged not only Obama in the eyes of the American people, but government in general.
Now, the problem is the central attribute you have to have as any leader in any walk of life, and certainly in government, is trust. And this president has destroyed the credibility of his administration, himself, and government itself. So I think in the long run, as somebody who would like to see this bill work, I think they've really undermined it. And it's going to be harder to defend it.
Jim, the evidence just keeps piling up in our favor here. It means we still got snookered, but means we're finally seeing the light here.
Yeah, and you know, so Ron Fournier is the kind of guy that deserves some applause for recognizing what's going on in front of him right now. And I think it's safe to say that he's speaking pretty forcefully about it. I mean, he's destroying confidence and you know, trust in government. He's not mincing any words there. The problem, you know, that Mary Catherine Hammond made this point, and maybe when I see him next in the green room, I will tweak him a little bit about this, that many of us were saying this all along. And, you know, neither he nor many of his allies in the media were you know, paying any credence to that. They basically thought, oh, we're these crazy right-wingers making these claims. And now everything we're saying, Obamacare, you know, does include a tax. It is causing plans to be canceled. People can't keep their job. We are broadly and widely vindicated. And the folks like Ron Fournier of the world really ought to reexamine their knee-jerk skepticism of us. And then from this, notice that now it's like, ah, you know, it's gone so wrong. The downside of people focusing their criticism on Obama, which is long overdue and he thoroughly deserves, is that notice Fournier is kind of leaving the door open of, you know, the law has still done some good. And, you know, the idea that if we just had a better president, these sorts of things wouldn't happen. It just comes up to the character flaws of Obama, he himself, and at some point we'll have a better liberal president who's not so dishonest, who doesn't hire the likes of Grubers and slimeballs like him, and that someday we'll have really good government the way we want. And instead of the idea that this is kind of inherent to the nature of power corrupting and absolute power corrupting absolutely, the temptation of humans to want to expand their power, to expand their control, to dictate things, the nanny state impulse that's got to be pushed back at every opportunity. But, you know, look, from my limited interactions with Ron Fournier when we see each other in the Fox News green room, the administration hates him now, and they see him as a traitor, as someone who has betrayed them by not staying loyal, even, you know, to Obama, even though Obama's contradicting things he said earlier.
Well, Fournier, of course, came to Washington when the Clintons got elected in 1992. And so I'm sure he's expecting if Hillary gets elected that it'll be the upright, no shady deals type people who will be coming to Washington.
I mean, maybe the advantage to the Hillary presidency, which, you know, hopefully will never happen. But as everyone will expect the shady deals, you know. And they won't, you know, preen so much about how better they are and how they're going to clean up Washington and stuff like that. That'd be the only upside there.
Yes, yes. Lowering expectations. That must be the key. All right. On to the bad martini now, Jim. And just like yesterday, it's a, a truly bad one, but this one is stateside, and folks are expecting pretty much any day now, sometime this month anyway, a final decision from the grand jury about whether or not to indict the police officer in Ferguson, Missouri, who ended up taking the life of Michael Brown. Now, this is obviously a very heated issue. The incident itself sparked days and days of riots, and now basically you've got people all poised to riot whenever this decision comes down. I guess they're assuming that it's going to be that he's not charged, Darren Wilson, this officer. Others saying that if he is charged, there's going to be riots. And the media here seems to be more interested in scoring the riots instead of trying to tamp them down, it feels like.
There are a couple of things that are fascinating about this. One is, I can't recall a circumstance of a grand jury where we've had so many signals of what kind of decision is coming down. Meaning that first you had that Washington Post story, which basically said that all the evidence was pointing in the direction of the officer. One of our least favorite people, Eric Holder, said, you know, the people in that grand jury are supposed to be keeping their mouths shut. These things are supposed to be secret. They're not supposed to be, you know, broadcasting what the decision is likely to be before it's officially announced. And so I actually give, you know, Holder a little bit of, you know, a point here. The other observation here is obviously the FBI is issuing warnings to people to expect, you know, riots and stuff like that. It's interesting how much people are assuming this is based on the FBI knowing what decision is coming down. But as you said, the fact, let's say they, you know, indict him on every charge and they say, oh, this was, you know, reckless or this was an improper use of his firearm and he's facing charges for murder. The idea that there could still be rioting, you know, indicates this. So there's two. One is people's willingness to riot over their absolute certainty about what happened, about something they didn't witness. And then the second observation is suggesting that some people just want to riot, that this isn't really tied to their, you know, sense of great injustice or some sort of broader moral cause. It's simply that they know there'll be a lot of anger over this, and they're going to use this opportunity to break a store window and get a big screen TV. And it's just kind of an appalling bit of disrespect for others, disrespect for property rights, disrespect, you know, the idea that, well, you know, something bad has happened, so I'm allowed to steal from my neighbor. It's such an appallingly arrogant approach to these sorts of things. I think there'll be a lot of people who began this process very wary of the Ferguson police and believing that, you know, they were overreacting to some of the earlier protests are now going to say, look, you know, police are going to do what you got to do in order to restore order to this community, because it seems like there are some really bad actors out there who just want to cause chaos and steal stuff.
All right, on to the crazy martini now. And the only poll that we've seen so far in this Louisiana runoff race is a Republican internal poll, which could be a little bit rosier than reality. But nonetheless, it's a 16-point gap for Bill Cassidy over Mary Landrieu, 56-40. If that's anywhere close to accurate, obviously Bill Cassidy is in very good shape. And Mary Landrieu right now is racing around Capitol Hill, apparently trying to find the 60th vote to pass the Keystone Pipeline, which the president will veto anyway. So clearly that strategy is not likely to put her over the top if this deficit is accurate. So now a PAC that would appear to be connected to her, as well as a state Democratic organization, is running this ad on black radio stations in Louisiana.
Have you heard the crazy stuff Bill Cassidy, Bobby Jindal, and the Republicans are always saying about President Barack Obama? They have shown our president so much disrespect, from playing the race card in commercials, talking about trying to impeach him, to lying about the progress the country has made under his leadership. Do you remember when the stock market was at an all-time low under the Republican-led administration? Now the stock market has more than doubled under President Obama, but they lie, saying the economy is horrible. Do you remember how bad the unemployment numbers were under the Republicans? Now unemployment is lower than it's been in 14 years. More lies by the Republicans. The president needs you to have his back, now more than ever. Show Bill Cassidy, Bobby Jindal, and the Republicans we don't want to go backwards, where Republicans threaten to shut down the government, where Republicans don't want people to have affordable health care, and our country was in the sewer. On December 6th, get out and vote Senator Mary Landrieu so she can help our president continue to do the great job he is doing.
Authorized by Friends of Mary Landrieu and paid for by the Democratic State Central Committee of Louisiana.
Jim, the only thing that's true in that ad is that the stock market has done very well over the past 6 years, but the unemployment numbers, race baiting from Jindal and Cassidy, absolutely none of that's true.
Yeah, and there are a couple of things that are really fascinating about this. First of all, it's airing on a small station with a heavily African-American listenership. You know, it's got the Tom Joyner Show and other programs like that on it. And, you know, suggests that this is aimed at the African-American community. Notice the our president. I have written about this in the Morning Jolt and posted on Campaign Spot, that the kind of the fascinating, you know, sense that Republicans are being disrespectful to President Obama. I'm really kind of fascinated that they feel like the best way to pitch Landrieu is to tie her to Obama, which of course is what she's trying to not to do in the more conservative parts of the state. That's exactly what Bill Cassidy wants to do. The second thing with the economic argument, I'd be fascinated to see the listenership of that station and how many of them own stock and how many of them are feeling all that fantastic benefits of the economy. When a listener of that ad hears, Republicans are saying the economy is horrible, do you think they jump out of their chair and say, how dare they? you could argue that the economy is doing okay, mediocre. We've had a certain amount of job growth going on for a while. Yes, the unemployment rate has dropped. You and I would contend a lot of that is because of the shrinking size of the U.S. workforce. But some of the numbers they throw in there are just flat out wrong, meaning that, it was not the all-time low for the stock market under the Republican-led administration, unless they mean Herbert Hoover, do you think? The implication is that it's Bush. And, did the stock market lose a lot during the crash? Yeah. The bottom came in 2009, and, some would say, well, it's Obama had only been on the job for 2 months then, so cut him some slack. But, it wasn't even the steepest drop. The steepest drop was during the Depression. And so there's that. Unemployment is lower than it has been in 14 years. I mean, that's just flat wrong. We're used to seeing lies in campaign ads, but this one struck me as just really brazen. It's one thing to make wrong impression type, lies. The economy is doing terrific. It's another thing to cite figures. They're just flat false. And I guess the idea is that it makes the argument seem stronger, even though it's, made up. I don't think it'll work. I think, as you point out, that internal poll from Republicans, not that far out from where she was in the first round on Election Day. And I think we learned, this Election Day is that sometimes reality is even better than what the Republican polls say.
That's true. That certainly was the case on Election Day, which I know you're still smiling about. But we still have a couple weeks left here. So if this is where the Landrieu campaign and the Democrats are in terms of desperation this far out, if the numbers don't change at all, it's going to be really interesting to see what they do over the next two ads and accuse Bill Cassidy and Bobby Jindal of. But we'll wait and see. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today. And be sure to join us again on Wednesday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.